Good morning, everybody. I just so appreciate Lancaster County hospitality. We didn't get to see snow this year, and you made sure we got to see some before we left. We're leaving this afternoon, and boy, it was gorgeous this morning. A little slick, but really gorgeous. And I was just thrilled to see some of the songs that were chosen. Just I thought, boy, it's right in alignment with what I think the Lord wants us to share. Some of you may not remember, but Darla was known as probably Little Darla at the time. How many remember her as Little Darla? But Little Darla grew up to be a woman of God and is playing a real key leadership role in our community. And Chris is going to try to keep up with me here, I think. There, you might show the family photo there. But our kids have been raised here. We were married here in 81, and we've really been on this journey and seeing God do a lot of things. And you have really played a very key part in that. We are so grateful for this family that has really sent us out as missionaries into the harvest field. And so I want to start this morning by giving you a very brief report, a just quick overview of some of what God has done over the last year, and then give a brief message, okay? So I wanted to warn you so that when I get done with a brief report, you don't get worried that, oh no, there's a long message coming now. So we can go to the next slide. That's our kids there right now. You know, we've been working and discipling and really renovating lives, if you will, with transformational discipleship. But in order to do that and to scale it up, it's required a larger facility. And so we've been working on this facility, and these cabins don't look like great dormitories at that state, but the next slide will show you. They have turned into beautiful little cabins for many of our staff and students, and they've just been an ongoing renovation development. This last year, keep on going. We're working to develop this missions training launch pad into such a facility that people will come for many reasons and encounter a transformational discipleship experience, and they'll leave with one purpose, that purpose to live their lives to glorify Jesus, whatever it is he's asking them to do, sharing the gospel in the nations. And so we finished our maintenance building this year. We can go to the next one. We worked on our shower building. Anybody want to take a shower there or swim in the pool next to it? That's the way all the buildings looked when we got there. Not one building was functional. You may remember that. We had no water, no power, no sewage. But this is the 24th building that we're working to renovate. We finished that building, and we got it online just in time for a record number of students. We had 100 students show up this fall, and we filled every building between our staff and our students and overfilled some. That's kind of how we do things. But then, as we're getting ready for the school Hurricane Irma, you know, this hysterical, irate woman named Irma showed up and messed up our campus. But fortunately, there was no major damage. Trees fell down. We had, even in our RV park, trees fell right between two camper trailers, not touching a single one. You know, it's just shocking, you know. And yet we know many people who love the Lord and are followers of Jesus did not have that fortunate experience. So we're grateful for that. We don't think we're special. We're just grateful. God in his mercy may be realized. We wouldn't be able to be ready for that record number of students if that happened. So we had no power, though. Our way in was full of trees down, but God sent a bunch of angels in the form of power workers from Louisville, Kentucky. So Austin would be glad to know that. They came in from Louisville. And we were able to, basically through hospitality, they agreed to work on our power lines. And in 4 hours, we had all the power lines cleared and fixed on our campus, which was really, really, really quite amazing. But, you know, many people, as you know, with Puerto Rico and many other places in the Caribbean, people are devastated. Their homes are ruined. And so we have become a staging ground for containers to be able to gather relief materials and send them into the Caribbean. And we're taking these containers. One of the things we are desiring to do is put a home of hope in a box. So we can take a container and through welders turn that container into a home. And inside the container, we can also put in materials and paint and furniture package and dishes and curtains and everything for another home. And homes we're talking about are the size of a master bedroom, basically. But it's dry, it's safe, and we can take, so basically one box could actually be two homes. The box itself becomes a home. And then the materials in the box can become a home. And so we're working in conjunction with YWAM Ships. We're working hard to get three of YWAM ships into the Caribbean. One has come already, but the one we're waiting on is in dry dock right now, and it's a container ship that can actually haul these containers in. So we're working hard to get with the body of Christ to see places like Puerto Rico and many other islands in the Caribbean restored and really show a tangible expression of the compassion of Jesus. But it's a two-handed gospel approach. You meet the felt need, but you share the gospel simultaneously. You know, you give the people what they need, but not separating it from the gospel. So that's a part of what we're doing. You can go to the next slide here. You know, we were praying and believe the Lord said to us, the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers, and he did. He took us, he took that prayer and he began to answer it. You can keep moving. And so we began that life-changing journey and keep going. And he gave us a record number of students. This next slide is me sharing in our, you'll see a portion of our discipleship training school is getting ready to finish a week of teaching and move into ministry time, but we just have had a record number of students show up. And not only did we have students on campus, but they're sending them on outreaches, by the way. We're 11 countries this winter from this set of schools. We're sending out long-term workers, 6 long-term workers into 3 locations, Turkey, Lebanon, and India. And it's really exciting. This is just one class. This happens 4 times a year. So it's just been very exciting to watch what the Lord is doing. You can hit the next one there too. And then we had a conference of 600 people on our campus. That looks like a building, but it's actually an open-air pavilion. That's just a banner behind me. So at this point, we are so full that we can't feed anybody inside any building. So we cook our food in one building, and we haul it to this open-air pavilion to have our meals. And anytime we have a large gathering, that has to be in the open-air pavilion. So one of our next projects will be to have a multi-purpose building, you know, developed there on campus. We had our annual Thanksgiving meal, 26 turkeys, 16 hams, and 300 people. just a few people come to visit, that's including our guys, and we did Thanksgiving. So it's just been, there's lots of life, lots of energy, and very, very exciting time. Let's go to the next one. I believe God is really bringing a wave of people, and we're really working hard to get ready for that wave. In fact, let's hit the next one here. One of the things we need to do is increase our capacity. So we need to increase the housing. We'll just do the next few slides. One of the things we want to do is develop 23 cottages, if you will, for staff and couples. And so we've just put the water main in there, but we're working to finish the infrastructure for those 23 units and then that multi-purpose building. Do you feel like you just drank from a fire hose? I'm trying to get it in quick. I'm trying to honor the time, but there's just so much going. We believe when we get those projects done, we can more than double our capacity, and literally thousands more will hear the gospel each year. So it's been exciting. I want to say thank you. You know, everything that I've just shared a few things here, but every story I share, every one of these things I'm sharing, you have played a key role in making that possible. You've been faithfully supporting us for decades, praying for us, partnering with us financially, and I just want to say thank you. You have impacted the world. We know we're just one of many missionaries that are supported here. We know, Meg was talking about going with us on a trip. They've been on trips for years, I fully agree with her. We want to have when we build Homes of Hope now, we want the people involved. We want to train them to be able to build the home. So if we can teach them how to build one, they can multiply it. That's the best of the best. So she's absolutely right, and we've learned along the way. But we are just so grateful for this congregation that has linked arms with us and so many others to see this world transformed for the King. He is so worthy, isn't he? Let me just pause for a moment and pray. Lord, I thank you for this time, and I trust you to show up here as I share, that you would speak to all of our hearts just to really receive from you. You're an awesome God, a God we trust. And I trust you to now speak your heart to us in Jesus' name. Amen. There's about 3.1 billion people on the planet that have no access to the gospel. No Bible in their language. Nobody's preaching the gospel. Nobody's teaching them God's truth. And that number fluctuates some, but that's more people than lived on the planet when Jesus came. And we see from the New Testament that Jesus, when he looked at a multitude, he looked at them with compassion. But the thing I think is unique about Jesus is he didn't look at a crowd. When you and I don't know about you, but when I look at a crowd, I just see a crowd. I don't have capacity to know the stories of each individual, even in this room. Imagine the Lord looking out on the planet and knowing every story. Knowing every little girl or little boy that has lived in a home where they've been molested or abused. Knowing every person that faces addiction. Knowing every person's story where they're facing a hardship, a loss of a loved one. or the lack of financial provision, or dreams that have crashed. God is intimately acquainted with those things. And I believe that in response to that, he had compassion. But this compassion came in the form of a baby over 2,000 years ago. And he showed up in this form of a baby to express the compassion of this wonderful God of ours, the compassionate heart of the Lord, and to shine his light on the planet. I really believe he did. I believe he came to shine his light. And we have just seen him do that kind of thing. And he shows up as a baby, we've seen him shine the light. In John 1, 4 and 5, it says this: "In him was life, and the light was the light of man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." I was almost 20 before I became a Christian, and I lived around people who would shine the light of Jesus, and I thought they were all idiots. You could just ask me, and I would tell you. I didn't comprehend the treasure that was being offered to me. That's still true today of so many. And we are seeing people all across the planet. As I tell a few stories here in a moment, we share the gospel with Hindus and Muslims and atheists, and they do not comprehend that light. And we need the supernatural power of the creator of the universe to come in and open a heart to receive God's truth. Isn't that true? Then Jesus spoke to them, this a little later in John 8:12, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And we go, yes, he's God. Of course it's true. But then he has the audacity to turn around and look at his disciples and go, "You are the light of the world." And you know what? He's saying that to us because we're his disciples too. He looks at you and me and goes, "You are the light of the world." Me? Okay, I don't know about you, but I sometimes think, like Moses did, "Well, Lord, I can't really even talk very well. I can't, you know, what am I going to say? I don't remember the words. I can't remember that person's name. How am I going to engage them? I don't remember that passage you're prompting me to share. What am I going to say? What if they ask me a question I can't answer?" We don't go alone. One of my favorite passages is not on the scripture here, or on the screen here, but Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go." I quote that to myself a lot. And God spoke that to Joshua a lot. Why was that? Because God kept asking Joshua to do things that would scare the normal person to death. Welcome to the life of Christianity. Following Jesus in radical obedience often leads us to do things that would scare us normally. Except for this God of compassion is not telling us to go do something without him. He's asking us to go with him to share the gospel. Isn't that true? Isn't that wonderful? God is just, he is so, so faithful to us. He says, "You are the light of the world." I don't have the scripture here, but it says, when I think about sharing the light of the world, we think of Mark 16:15. "Go and preach the gospel to every creature." Every creature. That means every person you and I know. So how do we do that? You know, a lot of us, we will often talk about, as long as I'm living my life as a Christian, that's enough. Well, that's certain. That's the basis to be able to talk. Really, you know, if you and I don't live the truth, I remember excusing myself from being a Christian because of the hypocrites I met. I'm better than that. I don't need to be a Christian. Those guys are idiots. What? It's a lame excuse. It really is. Because Christianity is about relationship and intimacy with the Lord. But, you know, none of us live perfectly. There's only one perfect one, that's Jesus. But we want to live in a way that really honors the Lord. And we love getting folks from this part of the country to come to us because there are so many wonderful strengths of character that come from growing up in this community. It's wonderful. But that's the starting point, not the ending point. We're told to proclaim then the message. And then we're told in Matthew to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I've commanded you, and when you're done, come back. Right? No, he says, "And lo, I'm with you." I'm with you, basically, right? I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. What does it mean to baptize? Baptize, it's a transliterated word that means immerse. Baptizo, it's a better translation would be immerse. We didn't really translate it in the scripture, we just transliterated it. And so it means to submerge it, immerse it. And you think about that, you say, we're told to make disciples of all the nations. But you think about this. One of the things I love about Lancaster County is, you know, all the wonderful canned goods, you know, the pickling and the canned goods that come. And how many of you have made pickles, you know, in your home, or your grandmother did, or your mom did, you made pickles? Just a few. I'm surprised, okay? A lot of people make pickles. And what you do is you get this pickling brine solution, right? And you take a cucumber and you just dip it in for a couple seconds and pull it out, and you've got a pickle. Is that right? What do you have if you just dip it in and pull it out? You've immersed it and you pulled it out. Now what do you have? You've got a salty cucumber is what you've got. You got to put that in there, hold it under, screw the lid tight, and do the process, and wait a long period of time. And one day you crack open the jar, pop the lid, and what do you have? A pickle. A cucumber that's been transformed into a pickle. God wants you and I to pickle people in the brine, the teaching of the Lord. They're immersed and held into the teaching long enough that they're literally transformed. Romans 12, 1 and 2, don't be conformed any longer to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. He wants us immersed in the truth of God's word about it, all spheres of society, all spheres of influence, all activities. That our lives are literally, we begin to think biblically about things. I remember God dealing with me in early days, and still does, where I have to have a mental adjustment about something I'm thinking that's not in alignment with God's truth. It's a lifetime process, isn't it? But God wants you and I to be a part of that with people and see lives transformed. But one of the tragedies that we're discovering is we're working largely with a millennial generation coming to us. 80% of young people who attend church in high school leave church when they go to college. This is one of the stats I've read. There's some disagreement about that exact percentage, but it's a high, no matter who says that, it's a high percentage. I think, what a tragedy. We as a body of Christ have a great task in front of us called the Great Commission, but our workforce is going away. So what are we going to do about it? Well, in Orlando, what we're doing is we're igniting passion. We're equipping a generation, and we're launching a movement through discipling lives and transforming nations, but we're going after them. We can't wait for them to come to this building. I mean, I love the idea of going to motivate people to come for the candlelight service. That we ought to be doing lots of that, but that can't be the only thing we're doing because many people will not come here. So how do we reach out to people in a way that connects? I mean, going to Puerto Rico, like Magda, that's wonderful. But how do we engage our community in a way that we actually connect with this millennial generation, that they come to the Lord first and foremost? And then through relationship, they might come here. Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, we're seeing God do extraordinary things, and we're seeing Him work in people's lives. One of our students was working with Jess. She and her teammates were working with Muslim refugees. This particular time happened to be in Germany. And she was ministering to a young man named Hassan. Hassan was a very committed and devout Muslim. And she and her team were sharing Christ with Hassan, but he was not interested. You know, I don't know about you, but I've shared with lots of people who aren't interested. And at some point, you quit bugging them. You know what I mean? You don't want to be a jerk. You want to be a nice person. And you want to be appropriate in our sharing, and we don't want to push past what's appropriate, but we do want to share. So she's sharing, and they're sharing, and it's really come to an end. They're going to leave him alone and leave. But they just have this thought. They go, Hassan, do you mind if we pray for you before we go? I said, no, go ahead and pray. Because he's pretty sure nothing's going to happen. You know what I mean? A lot of people don't mind if you pray for him. They go, that's a nice thing. Maybe you get done with this, you'll leave. You know, so they pray for Hassan. And as they're praying for Hassan, as they begin to finish up, his eyes are like saucers. They go, well, Hassan, what happened? What's going on? I saw a man dressed in white. And he took me to a place where there's no pain. There's no sorrow. I've never felt so much peace in my entire life. Something shifted in my heart. Of course, they had the wonderful privilege of telling Hassan who the man dressed in white was in his vision as they prayed for him. God is still doing those kind of things. Or the next slide here. This is Rebecca. Well, this is our daughter Kristen with glasses on. She was helping to lead the team to India. And Rebecca standing to her off her right shoulder is one of our students from Australia. By the way, we have 13 nations represented in our schools right now, you know, which is exciting. But they're out there sharing with a Hindu family in India. They have just been chased out of one farming village, and they go to the next farming village, and they're trying to minister to this family of five. And the family of five is very, very resistant, except for the one daughter. The one daughter was already a Christian and was trying to share with her family, but the family was resistant to that. So the daughter invites them into the home, and they're sharing Christ, they're sharing testimonies, they're praying for them, they're just ministering to them. And over time, the family began to soften, and they began to listen intently to the stories. And eventually, they pray to receive Christ, and they commit themselves to Christ. Now, here's one of the challenges of working with Hindus. They'll add Christ to their religions. And we can't, that's not negotiable. It's Christ alone. And so they're telling them that kind of truth. It's Christ alone. He's got to be Lord of your life. And they make that commitment to Christ. And one of the daughters reaches up and wipes the red dot of Hinduism off her head and makes the declaration, I'm going to serve Jesus only. And we think, God, you're good. You're still changing hearts and lives. The last story I'll share this morning is one with Brendan. He's from Minnesota, and he was with a team. They were working in a slum in India. And they went to the home of a prostitute. And as they were going into the home of this prostitute, they realized, and she confessed, that she was just getting ready to kill herself. And they interrupted her plan. So they prayed for her, encouraged her, and ministered to her that night. She did not receive Christ. After they were with her and they felt like she was safe, she wasn't going to kill herself that evening, they left. Some days later, they came back and they began to talk to her about Jesus. And she confessed that she was just overcome with shame about her life. So Brendan, he shares with her how God set him free from some shame he had experienced. And then the Lord prompted him, I want you to tell her the story about the woman caught in adultery. He goes, I don't remember that, Lord. I kind of do, but I don't remember it enough to tell it. But the Lord challenged him to tell it anyway. So she was sitting on the floor. He sits down on the floor. He grabs her hands, and he begins to tell the story of the woman caught in adultery. And to his shock and amazement, he said it word for word. She sat there eating up the truth, the compassion of Jesus in spite of the shameful things the woman caught in adultery had done. And how, in spite of those shameful things, God loved her. And she gave her heart to Jesus that night and made a commitment to follow only Jesus. And I think, God, you are so good. From suicide to salvation. Because a young man and some young women were willing to take a risk and go across the globe to a place that wasn't comfortable, that they might save some. They might share the light of the gospel. God is at work in a very powerful way to share the light of the gospel. He turns to you and me and says, you are the light of the world. If this room became dark all of a sudden and you happen to see this flashlight here, what would you think about it? It's pitch black and you go, oh, hey, I remember there was a flashlight up on the podium. Where are you going? You're going to go find the flashlight, right? And you'd pick it up and you would turn it on with expectation, but unfortunately, your expectation would be disappointed with this flashlight. It doesn't work. It looks like it should work. It's got all the trappings of a flashlight, except for the power source. It's not connected to the power source. You and I, we're believers. We know Jesus. We look like Christians. We act like Christians. But I believe we need to stay connected in a fresh way. One thing about batteries and flashlights, if you don't change those batteries every once in a while, that they get old and unfresh. We've got to stay, I think, on a fresh connection to the power source. Our power source is the intimate relationship we have with Jesus. And as we draw light from Him, then we shine His light through us into the world around us. And it's not enough to just look like a good flashlight. We've got to be able to turn the switch on by proclaiming the truth. And, I don't know about you, but I don't know half the time what to say. But then all of a sudden, the Lord drops some thought in my mind, and it just feels like me. It just feels like Michael Berg's thoughts. And after you say it, and you see the impact in somebody's life, you realize, oh, clearly that was the Lord, that wasn't me. And if we'll stay connected to the power source, the Lord Himself, and walk in the place of intimacy, then His light will shine through us to those around, and see lives will be transformed. We'll be like John the Baptist. It says here, There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear a witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light. You know, the Lord tells us we're the light of the world, but it's really about reflecting his light to those around us. Isn't it true? But was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. God has given us light, and we're to shine that light. I love this passage. I love these, the songs that were being sung here earlier. But in verse 9 of the passage that was read today, it says, "You who bring good news," this is in your pew Bibles, "you who bring good news to Zion, go up on a mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a whisper," right? Is that what it says? With a what? With a shout. Well, that's a little obnoxious. That's what the scripture says, though. Lift your voice up with a shout. In other words, we're to proclaim, aren't we? We're to proclaim. See the sovereign, lift it up with a shout. Lift it up, but do not be afraid. It says, say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. You and I have an opportunity. We want to live our lives in such a way that people come to us because they look like we probably have light in us. But we want to stay so connected to the power source that when we do turn on the switch, we really radiate the beauty of the one true light, Jesus Christ. And I believe that's our commitment, or we wouldn't be in the room today. But I just want to pray for us that God would help us in this season, especially when people are so tremendously open, to be able to share. You know, people are tremendously open, but people are also hurting, because for many of them, they're it's not the same as it was when they were children. They've had a lot of pain associated with this season. We have opportunity to shine light and truth and to give the compassion of the Lord to those we meet, don't we? Can I pray for us? Lord, I know I need this. I get on an airplane and I don't feel like talking to somebody because I'm a little tired. It really doesn't matter what I feel like, Lord. What matters is, what do you want? And so our commitment is really to stay so connected to you, our power source, that we are alert to you, Holy Spirit, and we trust you to lead us as we share with those around us. As we minister to our fellow Christians, we want to do that. But as we also minister to those people that we meet at the Starbucks or the Walmart or wherever we're shopping or where we're getting gas, that we would share just in a very authentic, relational way the truth of who you are. And we commit ourselves into your hands that we might be ambassadors or carriers of the one true light. In Jesus' name, amen. I just thought of one, as I was praying for us, I just thought of one story. This Christmas, my sister and her atheist husband are coming to visit. And he likes us and respects us, but thinks we're crazy at the same time. And how do you share with, you got an atheist living in your house? What are you going to do about that? You know what we determined to do? Just be normal. They talk to us about their ski boat and their dogs and their thing. And we talk to them about what the Lord's doing in our life. They share their life, we share our life. And just be authentic and real. And it's just fun to watch what the Lord does when we just relax and let him shine through without having to be preachy. We don't have to be preachy, just be real and authentic. And so, you know, that prayer was for me as well as for you, because I'm getting ready to practice this. So thank you very much. Blessings.